don't think there's any use to apologize for getting up twice in one day, because unless you ask me to sit down, I'm going to go ahead anyway. And if you don't ask me to sit down, then your only recourse is to pray for me, and that's what I want you to do. I'd like to read from the 6th chapter of Ecclesiastes. I'd like to say first that I thank the Lord too for these brethren from Akron that have come into the meeting. I love them, and I'm glad the Lord sent them here. I'm looking forward to the remainder of this meeting, and I'm expecting it to be something special because of what they brought with them, and because of what's already here, and because of the blessings of the Lord. Expecting it to be special. Now, Ecclesiastes 6, 1 and 2 says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. I always have enjoyed, or say since I've had some understanding, I've enjoyed the writings of Solomon. He understood so much about life. And lots of his teachings have to do with just everyday living. So profound, so true, things he said. Here he sat, king of Israel, man of great wisdom, looking out over his kingdom and all the things that happened among the people that he was working with. He filling his office, doing what he could to bless and help them. But in spite of all his wisdom and skill and understanding, he said, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. My skill's not big enough to change it," he might say, "as king. I am the king. I have men under me. I can give commands, and they are obeyed. I have authority. I have wisdom. But this is the way things are, and I can't change it. It's just common among men. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. You and I only have one life to live. What do you want out of your life? What do you hope it will accomplish? It goes by so fast. It goes by faster than you can imagine when you're young. Almost before you know it, you're looking back on it. When that time comes for you, if you could just stretch out your heart all directions and have anything you wanted, what would you want with your life? To be rich? Well, that has its uses, all right. Rich people don't live like you and I do. I told the folks at home about some rich people that my wife and I visited. They're rich by my standard and might not be rich by yours. Had a big shower upstairs in their bathroom. Shower looked like it was nearly as big as the whole bathroom in one of the bathrooms in my house. And looked up at the shower head and the faucets on the handles, and they were gold. You got any gold faucets in your house? And on the dial on the face of one of those faucets, when I reached over to turn it on, there was all of those little digital screens. When you turn it on, it takes the temperature of the water that's running through it all the time. You can stand outside the shower and turn it on and watch that dial and set it right at the temperature of water that you want, and then you stand in there. Have you got any digital readouts on the shower in your house? Rich people don't live like you and I do. Well, I say like I do. Maybe you have those things, but I don't. Rich, see? There are advantages in being rich. The Bible said that riches are a defense. They're a shield. Well, if you could just have anything you wanted, do you want to be famous? Just so that everybody recognize your name, your household word. Speak that man's name and people know who you are. Just like that. That has advantages too. Famous people don't live like you and I do. They have folks who tend to them all the time. They have bodyguards. They're prominent. They're recognized. Somebody who made all their recognition and fame in Hollywood, being a movie actor, can give an opinion about what's about to happen overseas, and it'll get in the newspapers. Do newspaper reporters follow you around to see what you might have to say about what's going on in the Middle East? They don't follow me around. Nobody seems to be very interested in what I have to say about anything, but I'm not famous. See? Famous people don't live like you and I do. Wealth, riches, honor. If you could have anything that you wanted, would you own a company? Be the boss. Tell everybody else what to do. But what do you want for your life? Happy marriage? Big house? Fine car to drive? I like driving a nice car. Get in there and touch a button and all the doors lock down. Touch another button and the air conditioning comes on and blows in your face. I enjoy that. I've got a beat up old pickup truck that I drive most of the time, and you roll the window down by hand in it, and that's all the air conditioner that there is when you get the window rolled down. And I thank the Lord for my truck. If I were an extremely wealthy man, though, I probably wouldn't want to drive that truck. I'd go out and get a different one that would be more comfortable to ride in. And you know the way things are now, I could smile when I drove by the gasoline pump, because no matter how high the gas price got, if I were a wealthy man, it wouldn't make any difference to me. But the way it is now, I have to try to be careful where I drive, because I can't afford to drive very far because of the prices over there at the gasoline pump. Wouldn't it make your life easier if you could just spend money any way that you wanted to? Well, there are folks like that. And the Bible said, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Did you know that saying of Jesus is true of spiritual things, but it's also true to some extent for temporal things? And lots of times when people set themselves to have riches and money and wealth and fame and honor and recognition, they're able to get there. Our world is full of success stories on every hand. But this scripture said, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men." It doesn't happen to every man, but it happens enough that it's common. Seems like everybody has got a dream. When I was young, I had my dreams. When my dad was young and I was a child, my dad had a dream. He had two sons, and he wanted to have both of his boys on a farm. And he set himself to do that. That was his dream. It was his ambition. When I was young, I had my dreams, like a young boy will, to be a fighter pilot or to be a fireman or something of that sort. I thought about all of those. People have dreams. Young ladies have dreams of the kind of men they'd like to meet someday, and the kind of home they'd like to live in, and the kind of clothes that they'd like to have. How many young women have walked over to the closet and opened the door with a whole rack full of clothes in there and looking up and down and say, "I haven't got a thing to wear. I just wish that I had all the money I wanted. I'd go shopping right now and get me some clothes that I could put in my closet." It's a dream. It's an ambition, desire, shoes. One woman that I knew that had a little bit of money had 50 pairs of shoes in her closet or so. And look at those up and down and feel the same way, I guess, because she's liable to go shopping again the next day. "I wish I had some shoes to wear." Well, if you could just spend money on anything that you wanted to, what is your dream? What really would you like to have out of your life? People work for their dreams. Dreams are real. The desires, the hopes, the ambitions that people have, they're real. They have meaning. And people work hard to try to bring them to pass. And in fact, lots of times when people spend the labor and the effort to learn how to do something, they can, in large measure, make some of that dream come true. But the scripture said, there is an evil that I've seen under the sun. It's not in every case, but it's common among men. The person that set themselves, and God looked down on it. I said a while ago, the Lord said, seek and ye shall find, and so forth. Solomon looking down saw that before Jesus said it. A man to whom God hath given. The man that did the seeking, and he found it. God gave him riches and wealth and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. He made his dream. He got there. He has everything that heart could wish for. But there's a proviso. God giveth him not power to eat thereof. Did you know you can work for your dream and actually get it? And have it right there in front of you, mocking you because it's there and you can't touch it. And it doesn't help you at all. Now, you take Sam Walton. You know who Sam Walton is? Sam Walton is chairman of the board of the Walmart Corporation. Walmart today is doing a bigger volume of business than Sears and Roebuck. And Sam Walton, if I'm not mistaken, is the wealthiest man. I know he's one of the five wealthiest men in the United States. He's made it. He's got wealth, he's got honor, he's got riches, so that there's not anything that his heart desires that he has to keep back. He's got money coming in every day from hundreds and thousands of stores all over these United States. His investments are making him money while he's sleeping. He makes more money in a day than I'd make in 10 years if I worked as hard as I could work. It enrolls into him. He's fabulously wealthy. If he had sell all of his stores tomorrow and invest his money, the interest would be more than he could spend in his lifetime. Splendidly wealthy, fantastically wealthy. He could buy anything that he wanted to buy in this world. But there's a fly in the ointment. Sam Walton has got bone cancer. Do you know what bone cancer is? I want to read you this again. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. Sam Walton is an ambitious, hard-driving, hard-working man. Brother Ivanek in the Four Corners congregation goes hunting with him sometimes. And Brother Bob Husky, who's pastor of the Neosho congregation, works for him. He works on his airplanes. And he told me the other day that he saw Sam Walton. Sam Walton still flies. He's a pilot, and he flies his airplanes around a little bit. He said, I watched him getting down out of his airplane. He said he's kind of stumbling. He's got to walk kind of carefully. It's hard for him to get up and down out of the airplane, but he's still doing it, see? Wants to press it as far as he possibly can, because that's all that's left to him now, to have pleasure of the money and the means that have come into his hands. He's got bone cancer. Well, most people don't start out with bone cancer. And I would imagine that Sam Walton originally probably had prostate cancer, because that's where it usually starts with a man. And he went to visit the doctor, like people do who don't know to trust the Lord. And the doctor looked him over and he told him what it was. And he said, now it's a simple little surgery. Put you in the hospital for a week or so, and we cut out the cancer, and you'll be all right. And you get up and go on your way. Maybe. Sometimes it works. But cancer cells are microscopic. You can't see them. You can't look at it and tell that you got it all. And what happens lots of the time, but the doctor doesn't always tell you this, When you go in for your surgery, just a simple little surgery, they do it every day, been done not too long ago on the Pope and been done on other world leaders, and so they went in and did it on Sam Walton, but instead of getting all the cancer, they caused it to spread, and when it spread, it went into his bones. Bone cancer is one of the most dreadful diseases known to man. Sam Walton is the richest man in the United States, but his bones, like yours and mine, have got a rubbery lining around them, every one of them, and the bone cancer attacks that rubbery lining. And when it does, it causes him to start running a fever. And when his fever goes up, his flesh gets sore and painful. And the cancer on the inside of his bones, it gets in your skull, it gets in your breastbone, in your ribs, in your backbone, it gets in your legs and in your thighs and in your arms, all up and down through your body. It just actually grows little tumors on the insides of those bones, and it pulls the minerals out of the bones. And as it does that, the bones get more and more brittle. And it takes the calcium out of the bones. And when the calcium is coming out of the bones and it gets in the bloodstream, it causes you to lose your mind. You can't think right. You don't know the things that are going out. Sam Walton has billions of dollars, but he's got a disease that in just a little while will put him so he can't even understand the financial reports. If they bring him into his hospital room and read them to him, he wouldn't be able to understand what they were saying because the calcium is being pulled out of his bones and it gets in his bloodstream and the fever keeps building up and the bones get soft and crumbly and the tumors are growing on the insides of his bones all up and down through his body, and they don't stop just because they grow up against the side of the bone. They actually grow until they break his bones from the inside. But he's the wealthiest man in the United States. And the time will come with bone cancer when he can be laying flat in the bed and his arm will break just of its own accord. It hurts just as much to a bone cancer patient as it would hurt you to have your arm broken. And it does the same thing. It swells up there and the broken ends grate against one another. And you know what the nurses and the doctors prescribe for those broken bones? Lay them out straight. Make them as comfortable as you can because they're never going to grow back. You just live with broken bones here and there wherever they break as long as you live. Bone cancer patients often die because their ribs have broken and it hurts so much to breathe that they finally get so they just can't do it anymore. But they get real weak and emaciated. A doctor told me that one of the reasons for that is that the cancer cells grow faster than normal cells do in your body, and so they absorb the nutrients of the food that you eat, and so you get real skinny and pale looking, and your muscles all waste away when a person has bone cancer. Because the lining of the bones, that rubbery coating that I was telling you about is being eroded by the cancer, a bone cancer victim comes to the place that they cannot stand the weight of a sheep to touch them anywhere. Most of them, many of them, die in screaming agony. Well, but Sam Walton's not trusting the Lord, so he can go to the doctors. And the doctors have got wonderful drugs to use for bone cancer. Mercaptopurine, methotrexate, donorubicin, doxorubicin, L-asparaginase, chemotherapy, that's what those drugs are. And they do attack cancer cells, and they cause them to dissolve. So Sam Walton can go have the chemotherapy for his cancer cells, but God giveth him not power to eat of the riches that he's got. See? Nobody knows what caused that cancer to start. God giveth him not power. He had a dream and he was skillful and he knocked hard on his dream and he succeeded in his dream, but he's not enjoying it very much. Sam Walton is living with the knowledge today that he is dying. Don't you know that it robbed the joy out of all those billions of dollars? How could you spend enough money to console your heart knowing that this day is the best I'm ever going to feel, no matter how bad I feel today, tomorrow's going to be worse, and the day after that is going to be worse. Those drugs that I told you about, that's the best man has got, a medical means of drugs and chemicals, chemotherapy, to use against cancer. And they have some effectiveness against cancer, but do you know what else they do? They cause all your hair to fall out. They'll cause you to vomit until your mouth is so filled with ulcers and so sore that you can't stand to brush your teeth. And people who have been under that kind of therapy use hydrogen peroxide and rinse it around in their mouth by shaking their head a little bit to try to clean their teeth off. The wealthiest man in the world, that's what he's facing. L-asparaginase, the drug that I told you about, the people have been in the hospitals with doctors and nurses all around them, all kinds of emergency equipment there, been given one injection of it and died right there on the spot. Just killed them instantly. But it doesn't always do that, of course. They wouldn't use it if it did. Sometimes you can go several days and then just suddenly die. But if you don't die, these drugs affect your liver. They affect your lungs. They affect your heart. They affect your bloodstream. They can affect your mind and cause you so you can't think normally. They also cause cancer themselves. So he can take chemotherapy, or he can take radiation. Listen, I don't know if you're going to trust the Lord all your life for your healing. I hope you do. But let me give you a word of advice. If your doctor, if you go to a doctor and your doctor diagnoses you as having a tumor, it's cancerous, and he wants to give you drug therapy, run out the door as fast as you can go. That stuff is terrible. Yes. Sam Walton's money can't buy him any better treatment than that. But that's not the only means, it's radiation therapy. They put your arm out here where the tumor are and they shoot x-rays through it from this way and from this way. And the x-rays kill the cells, the cancer cells. But they kill all the cells, all the way through your arm, everywhere they go. And there's not any way to kill cells without causing pain. And when this is done, it reduces your resistance to disease. It makes you weak. It makes you so if you catch a cold, you probably never recover from it. And in all the therapy that can be given to Sam Walton now, all that can be done is to slow down the disease. There's no curing it. There's no stopping it. He's a dead man walking, and he knows it. So there will come a time, according to nature and the course of that disease, when he's lying there helpless in the hospital bed in the last stages of it with his arms and his legs broken, and all there is left for him is morphine. And they shoot it into his veins every 45 minutes or every hour to keep the pain down. They'll have a monitor on his heart, and they can tell by how fast his heart is beating, how much pain he's in, even though he himself can't answer a word. He'd be laying there. But they can tell that there's pain in his body somewhere, and when his body's able to tolerate another dose, they'll trip the lever again and send more morphine into his veins. But the trouble with morphine is that your body becomes accustomed to it, and after a while, it won't stop the pain anymore. And after a while, you get to the place where nothing will stop the pain anymore. And all of Sam Walton's money is not able to keep him from that kind of a fate. Solomon said, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men." This is usual. This is the way of the world. Set yourself to have your dream if you want to. But I want to tell you tonight, in the fear of the Lord, when you get there, it won't be like you thought it would be. It won't work out the way you had in mind. It's common for things to happen this way. Sam Walton's end is not an unusual end for people who make this world their God. If you go that way, the likelihood is that it'll happen to you too. You'll have it somewhere to deal with. Well, I knew a wealthy woman one time, multi-millionaire. Wouldn't that be nice? And her husband was pretty tight with her, but he died. She had the money and she had the land and she could spend it any way she wanted to. Ah, this is what I've been waiting for. She's going to remodel her house. She did, too. I remember right there in the front entryway, she put a table, probably not as wide as this pulpit and not quite as high as the pulpit was. I walked in there and I thought that was the fanciest, most elaborate thing I'd ever seen. Cut out of marble and glass. She said, don't touch it. That table cost $15,000.
Yes, sir.
Standing right there in the entryway. She redecorated her house with furnishings like that all the way through it. I don't know what all she finally wound up with, but she was talking about an elephant hide sofa to go in one of her rooms, expensive works of art and all those kind of things. Fabulously wealthy. Could have send her agents over to Europe, to Italy, and to England and France, and picking out antiques and things to bring over here and put in her house. You like to redecorate and make your house nice? This lady could redecorate more than anybody I'd ever been around could do. She had the money, and her husband had held her tight, but he was gone now. She's going to spend it, and she did spend it. But there's some disadvantages. She had burglar alarms on every door in her house. The doors into her house had double locks on every one of them. The door into her bedroom had three locks on it. So afraid that somebody would get in there with her. And burglar alarms and lights that came on the outside of the house automatically if somebody even came close. And when she got all done with all of that, the electrician that had put it all in there walked in the house and he said, well, ma'am, the only place that's left is the roof. Anybody going to get in here, they're going to have to climb up on the roof and chop a hole to get in because that's the only place we haven't guarded. And she looked up at the roof and she said, what would it take to put something up there? Talk about living in fear. But that's not the end of my story about her. She had the money. She had a daughter, a lovely young woman, 22 or 23 years old, maybe at that time. Educated, intelligent, beautiful. She had an eye disease. She was losing her eyesight, and the finest doctors in the world couldn't stop it. And since her husband had died, she was so depressed and so much grief. She was under a psychiatrist's care, trying to deal with it, taking several kinds of drugs every day to relieve the depression. Do you think her money meant anything to her? Did God give her the power to just eat of it and enjoy it? It's mine. I can write a check for anything I want to. I used to watch her at night, sitting in there behind her desk with her calculators and checking up on her bank accounts and running her stocks and her savings and all the different real estate properties that she had. But it couldn't keep her from crying alone in her room at night when everybody else was gone, worrying about who's trying to get in there with her to steal it from her. Depressed because her husband was gone, her daughter couldn't get her eyesight back. God giveth him not power to eat thereof. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. But God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If you pursue the dreams that you have that seem to you like the natural way to you to fulfill your life and do your best to carry them out and to fulfill them, I promise you that time will come when you look on it and say, this is an evil disease. This is a cursed way that I've gone. I've maybe attained my money. I've maybe gotten famous. But it has not brought me what I thought it was going to do. God's got a way of putting his finger on something like that and blowing it all apart. The money's right there. Sam Walton has got billions at his disposal, but he couldn't buy his health. He cannot buy one day free from pain with all the money that he's got. God got him in a place where somebody else is going to use it. And all there is left for him to do is stand there and watch it go out of his hands. That's where the dreams of men lead to. Oh, when I was in school, my teacher told me, hitch your wagon to a star. Try to be as high as you can be. Learn to be as successful as you can be in life. But I've learned a different rule to go by, folks. I want to tell you about the story of Jesus and the way of the gospel. If you set yourself to fulfill your dream, you are headed for trouble. It'll never work out like you want it to work out. And if you set yourself to serve the Lord, I can't tell you that your dream's going to work out there either. The greatest Christian that there ever was came down here in this world with a man just like I am. Spun out the tale of his days. He could have wanted a wife. He could have wanted a home. He could have wanted to be born in a castle and reign a king. But he sacrificed his dream and he gave it all up to suffer and bleed and die for you and me that I might be redeemed. And I want to tell you in the fear of the Lord, the only thing that there is in this world that's real is the church of God and the word of the Lord. And what the Lord wants you and me to do is to be willing to put our dream and our ambition on the altar. No, to actually take the sacrificial knife and stab it to death and leave it there. Lord, I'd like to have a nice car. I'd like to have a nice home. But I want you first and your way first and your word first. And if you never give it to me, I'll serve you anyway, because this is the only thing that's real. This is the only hope that there is in life. The dream, the hope, the longing that the devil's got in your mind is nothing but a mirage. It's like a man out there in the desert that sees the lake of water and staggering toward it. But when he gets there, it's just dry sand. That's what it is to reach out for the things of this world. This scripture said, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Go where you want to. Live the life that you will. It doesn't lie in our power to make anyone's decision for them tonight. But it is our duty to tell you in the fear of the Lord, if you set out to take your own plan and your own way in life, I don't care what it is, you're headed down this road. And Solomon put his finger on it all those years ago, and he's still right. It's a road of destruction. It's a road of ruin. God's got a way of setting your dream where it's right out there in front of you, so close you can see it. Sam Walton's dream's right there in his hand. As if to taunt him, to mock him, is what you wanted. Now you got it. And what is it to you? If you follow your way, that's where that road leads to. The Lord would have us to lay down our way. To walk in his way. Maybe that's enough. Thank you for your attention tonight. Let us stand and have a song. And if you're here tonight and the old devil has been leading you across the desert with a picture of a lake before you, it's time to turn around and come on back home and leave it alone. Take your dream and put it on the altar and sacrifice it there before the Lord and get a vision of his way and his cause. Get a vision of the one who died for you and me and put him first in your life. And brother, the Lord will fulfill your soul and your spirit. And he probably won't fulfill your dream. And you'll have to give it up. But it'll be well worth the sacrifice. And the Lord will bless you for it. Amen.